laid that there is the urgency that I believe today of having the unction of the Holy Spirit of God and the alarm, sounding the alarm that people will be saved, souls will be saved. Do you have the fire of God in your heart? Do you have that holy unction that the Bible talks about to see souls saved? I was able to talk to a young man this week about his soul. I prayed Wednesday and prayed before that, and Thursday was given the opportunity, and he bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I told him there Thursday when he did that, I said, the angels in heaven is rejoicing. Talked to him again yesterday and asked him if he's still saved. He says, I'm always going to be saved. And you pray for one, the brother in Christ now that his journey is, I try to disciple him and that he will be obedient to the call of the Lord and to the scriptures. I want to touch on a few things this morning in Psalms chapter 80. I'm just not going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time, but David talked about, said, turn us again chapter 80, verse number 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Verse number 7, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse number 10, and the hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boroughs thereof were like the godly cedars. Verse number 14, return, we beseech thee. This was a prayer of David where he asked us, said, look down from heaven, the God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit us. David cried and asked for the Holy Spirit of God to look down. He was hungry for God. He said, don't stay in heaven. He said, look to us and come down and help us. And that should be our cry today, is to be able to sound the alarm. What bothers me the most today in the churches in America is the churches has lost their voice. The voice and cry for the lost to see them saved. The world has lost its way. The witness, there's no witness. We have no alarm. We have no urgency. I looked up the word urgency and it talked about the importance of requiring swift action. The importance of requiring swift action, alarm, urgency. The urgency is gone. David said he saw the urgency and sound alarm turn us again four different times in that chapter. Said, and I pray, Lord, that God will give us the urgency to turn back and to put the Holy Spirit fire back into our lives. Revelation chapter number 2, verses 1 through 6, it said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou couldest not bear them which are evil, and how thou tried them which say they are the apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for thy name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place except ye repent. I believe that's today, and the urgency of the church today that we live in is to repent, because we've gone away from our first love. When I first got saved, I had the urgency because my first love was to tell others about Jesus Christ and what had happened in my life. The testimony that had happened, Brother Perry, in my life, what God had done, the conviction power. And on that day, April 6, 1988, when he reached down and he pulled me out of that miry pit, there was people praying for me. I read when my grandmother died, I had no idea. A lot of people pray in secret. The Bible talked about praying in your closet. And I read as I'd done, got ready to do her funeral, Had no idea how much she prayed, but she wrote down her prayers, and she prayed for her grandchildren. She prayed for her children. She prayed for her children's children, and just on and on and on, and the things that happened that was going on in their life of my grandfather and how he was sick. He prayed. She wrote down her prayers. I think that's a good thing that you write down what God has laid on your heart. The Bible talks about leaving an inheritance. My grandmother left an inheritance to me. The fact that when I read her writings, and sometimes I'll pick that up, Brother Jeff, and I'll go in my studies when I want some encouragement, and I'll go and I'll look and see what my grandmother wrote some 30, 40, 50 years ago, praying for her family and writing it down so that I and my children and the rest of her children and the list goes on could see that there was somebody praying for the lost and for their family. I think that's the biggest thing that we have today in our lives, is that we have dropped the ball, so to speak. We've got comfortable watching the TV, going out fishing, going to the races, going to whatever it may be. And not against those kind of things. There's a balance and a place for that all over and wherever you're at. But we have lost the urgency. There's a cry. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. David sounded the alarm. He sounded the alarm and he asked God to come down and to visit us, to visit him and to encourage him. And that's what we need today. The auction, we need the holy auction. For the holy auction, I looked that up, for those who are in intimate danger. The sinner is in intimate danger of hell fire. And as the Bible talks about pulling them out of the fire, I think it's when we talk to people about their soul and they pray and they receive Jesus Christ, we're pulling them out of the flames, because that's the ultimate destination is hell fire. There's no use of watering it down and calling it purgatory or something else, limbo, whatever. No, you're either going, if you're either been saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, you either serving the Lord or you're serving Satan. There's no in between. And we've got to understand that. We've got to pray for our lost loved ones. We can say and we can ask for a prayer request, but I think that ball falls back on us to see the urgency to pray and to get down to God's business and to get down to the fact to where it is bound at an old-fashioned altar. I heard it once said, the altar is not necessarily for the lost, but for the saved, to get back and get the holy unction back into our life, to cry and to ask for God's help, for that Holy Spirit filling in our hearts and our lives so that we'll be able to see the lost souls get saved. And it's going to start with us. It's not going to start anywhere else. The government's not going to do it. President Trump's not going to do it. The Governor Ivey, whoever it is, it's not going to help us. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ and us putting our focus back on him and getting our hearts and life in the right way and right living and depending upon him to do what it takes to get us back on the track of soul winning and having the holy auction and realizing there's people dropping off into hell every single day, and we're not doing, most of the time, not doing anything about it. Most people have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years and not won one soul to Jesus Christ. That's a shame, Brother Perry. In our lives, that we, at least we can do is be able to tell people about our testimony. Just like I did Thursday, I took the man, and I told him, when I went through the scriptures in Romans Road, he took my hand. I said, are you ashamed to pray right here with me, or you want to go out this way? He said, well, let's just do it right here, and he grabbed my hands. I saw the tears run down his eyes as he prayed. He said, I've never prayed before in my life, Mike. He said, I don't know how to pray. Imagine that, not knowing how to pray. I remember one time when Philip went down, and he talked to the unit, and he was reading the scripture, and he said, do you understand? He said, how can I accept a man? Show me. Sometimes we've got to talk to the lost, and don't let anybody buy you into the thing there that you can't do. You can't help people, and when they don't know how to pray, that you can say, well, will you just pray This is how I did when I got saved. I prayed, "Dear God in heaven, I know I'm lost, and I know that if I die today, hell is my home. I want you to save me and take me to heaven when I die. I believe that you died upon the cross for my sins. I believe that you shed that precious blood, and I believe that you rose again the third day. In Jesus' name, save me." And I said, "That's it." And he prayed that prayer, and praise God, he was saved, and another soul added to heaven right then and there. And that, folks, that's what it's going to take, is us getting back to the point to where we're not afraid of what's going on. We're not afraid of what man says. Well, one place is talked about, said when God comes and visits us and indwells us, we're intimate with him, we won't worry about and we won't be intimidated by the world. If God is intimate with us and he dwells in our heart, we will not be intimidated by the world and what the world says. We'll have that holy fire and that unction in our lives and our heart, and we'll see the need to see the lost get saved. Leonard Ravenhill said what we needed, the pastors, he said, needed the holy unction. He taught mainly to the pastors and the lay leaders and stuff. The church, he said, the lack of prayer is the reason we don't have revival. If we will get back to the point and the basis of just our getting on our prayer life, David spent a lot of time, yes, he messed up, but he spent a lot of time in prayer. He said, "Oh, Holy Spirit," God said, "don't take thy Holy Spirit from me." Many times he said, "Search my heart. There did not be any wicked thing found in me." All we need, the people, the Christians today out there, to, wherever you're in the sound of my voice, to search your life and to make sure that you're in the family of God. And if you're not in the family of God, this may be great to you. It may be foolishness. But if you're in the family of God, we need to get back to the business of the holy unction, the urgency, the urgency. If we had a storm coming and tornadoes was coming towards us or down like it is, and where Brother Joe and Brian are at down there in Florida and places out in Texas, the urgency, the alarms were sounded for people to leave. We ought to have that same urgency. Brother Perry said it last week, said judgment must begin in the house of God. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Or the church houses will be full like it was when I was growing up and a kid there. You couldn't find a place to see. And the windows was open and people looking in. I've heard of that and I also witnessed it. But we don't see it today because the urgency is gone. It's not there, Brother Perry. It's not there. But it can be there. It can be there. What I heard is a man preaching back yonder years ago in the 40s and 50s, and as he was crying, as I am right now, for the urgency of you to cry for that fire to be in our lives, that fire from God, the urgency, the burning urgency to talk to the lost. I heard people in the background screaming and hollering, down on their knees, crying and begging for God to forgive them of their sins and to get them back into to the grace of God. And that's what we need today in our churches. If we ever plan on seeing revival, it's going to start in our hearts. If you're out there today and you're hearing me and you're not in the house of God, there's a good place here at Pathway Baptist Church for you to be here this morning and to be about around the fellowship of Christians. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking assembling ourselves together." And there's a place there where it talks about that we should encourage one another at the last part of it. But he said that it was a matter of some are. But it said we are to encourage one another. We see the day approaching of the Lord coming back. That's the urgency, Miss Helen. We need to see people saved. But we got to get our heart right first. We've got to get our hearts right first. If we don't get our hearts right, Brother Jeff, the lost world's not going to care anything about what we say because they're going to look at us and they don't see any difference of what they're seeing and what we are. That should be the difference. There should be a difference. If you have that holy unction in your life and you have that Holy Spirit, that burning for the sea souls saved, the devil doesn't show you the ending. He only shows you the beginning. Did you get that? The devil doesn't show you the end, and he only shows you the beginning of things. He makes everything look good. He'll rob you of the joy of you studying the Word of God, but you sitting in front of that TV or whatever else that you may be, going to a ball game or whatever. And I'm not against that. Don't say that Brother Mike Keller's against ball games and TV. I love it more than just about, you know, not more than anything, but I love to sit down and watch my old westerns and stuff. But I have been convicted of the fact of sitting in front of that TV and not studying the Word of God and not getting fed myself. And not, that's where we lose the holy unction from the Holy Spirit of God. It's robbed by Satan. He comes and plucks and pulls, just like pulling feathers out of the chicken. He pulls just a little bit till it's all gone, and we don't have any covering. We don't have any bases. We'll live our lives a defeated Christian, and the lost will suffer because they will be one of these days plunged into hell. We'll not be able to cry for the lost at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll not be able to sacrifice anymore. It's here, on this side of heaven, it's where that it took place. That's where we talk to the lost. That's where we live our Christian life. When we get to heaven at judgment seat, we're going to give an account for all the evil things that we've done, every idle word, the times that we hadn't witnessed it. God put that opportunity there to talk to that soul, and we didn't do it, Brother Jeff. For whatever reason, we were intimidated by the world because we weren't filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside you, but there's a difference in the Holy Spirit being inside and the Holy Spirit filled. We've got to be Holy Spirit filled to stand up against Satan. There's one place there, being known in hell. I preached a little bit on it there Wednesday night. There's a verse over in Acts. Acts 19:15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Are you known in hell? Are you known by hell? One man said that there ought to be a banner in hell over there with your name on it. Amen. Every time the devil looks up, he ought to be able to see your name. That are you doing any destruction against hell? Does Satan fear you and your prayer life? Or has he already got you? That's the reason we're not seeing souls saved. It's because we're not doing any damage to hell. We're not known by hell. Do you have that burning desire for the lost? Isaiah 57, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and praise God, I know that I shall not be ashamed. As we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm mainly talking to Christians right now today, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days after the rapture, there's going to be some people ashamed, and I'm going to be one of them for the opportunities lost that I have not talked to the lost about their salvation. And if you're lost out there today, wherever the sound of my voice, there's a way that you can know that you're saved. The Bible tells us over in the book of Romans, it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart, that he hath raised him from the dead. He said, thou shalt be saved. That's exactly what I told Juan there Thursday. And I said, do you believe, Juan? He said, yes, I believe. And when he prayed, right then and there, he received Christ. And another soul was written down in glory. Hallelujah. And that's what it's going to take in order for souls to be saved. It's for the saved
to get a burden for the lost. And if you're out there today, the sound of my voice, and you don't have a church home, I said, come to Pathway. Or find another Bible-believing church in Scottsboro area, wherever it's at that you hear. Get under the sound if you've been saved. Tell somebody today. Get to church and be discipled. And get on the firing line against Satan. And that's what it's going to take, dear friend, for us to see revival in Scottsboro, Alabama, and the other places surrounding, and all this kind of stuff. That there's nothing else going to work. You can make all the excuses in the world that is going to keep you from serving Christ and from being in church, and none of them's going to hold water at the judgment seat. And if you're lost and you die, you'll be at the great white throne judgment. He'll say, I did this and I did that and all that. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a message today, and I hope that you respond to it and find you an altar and get saved or get right with God. Back to the announcers.